Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing old windows for smoother operation and home comfort. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, May 23rd. I'm Ala Kaziz. U.S. Army Corporal Frederick Carino went missing nearly 75 years ago during the Korean War. He was only 18. His family recently welcomed his remains back to St. Louis with a special funeral service in his honor.
We are proud. They've done so much. It's amazing. Makes you be proud to be American.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with Carino's family about the significance of the repatriation service. That's coming up on The Gateway. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says the city will not punish residents for entering their homes despite condemnation signs on buildings damaged by last week's tornado. Spencer said during a press conference yesterday that people in hard-hit neighborhoods on the city's north and west sides have been confused after seeing the notices placed on their properties. The mayor says such notices are meant to note structural instability and damage to buildings.
It is not our intent, nor are we going to be punishing residents in any way, shape, or form for entering your property. We're in the process right now of making those notices more clear.
Spencer says the city will soon distribute pamphlets and more information that will better inform the public about next steps for their homes and properties. She added residents should carefully document damage with photos. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe says he's not concerned that other states' disaster declarations have been denied recently by the federal government. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the governor's confident St. Louis will see federal help for last week's deadly tornado.
Mayor Kara Spencer says the Federal Emergency Management Agency will continue assessing tornado damage in the St. Louis area through the weekend. After the assessment, Missouri can submit a request for a major disaster declaration. That would unlock individual and public assistance from FEMA. Kehoe says he feels really good about the state's existing requests from March and April severe storms.
So we've already had that brewing in D.C., and I feel good in talking to the president and to our two senators that we'll get some good news in those pretty soon, and then we'll be following up with this.
FEMA recently denied individual and public assistance to Arkansas after a series of spring tornadoes this year. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The People's Response Hub has been on the ground for days in the aftermath of Friday's tornado. The group recruits hundreds of volunteers to O'Fallon Park Rec Center in North St. Louis to distribute food, water, and cleaning supplies. They also help clear debris, put tarps on homes, and help anywhere they can. The local grassroots effort was created by Action St. Louis and For the Culture STL. Ohan Ashe is the founder of For the Culture STL. She says she was happy to see St. Louis come together. By Sunday, roughly 5,000 people signed up to volunteer and help.
I have never seen it in this magnitude. People instantly got involved and they instantly started sharing what they are good at. And I think that's the part that is making everything so successful is that people are empowered to do the things that they already do.
Ashe was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. Visit stlpr.org for more on how to get help from the People's Response Hub. During and after Friday's tornado, some social media posts depicted people pulling over and waiting under overpasses on interstates during the storm. Experts say that's a bad idea. Nick Chabaria is a spokesperson for AAA and was a guest on St. Louis on the Air.
What happens is that overpass can actually create a funnel for debris. So you think about that large debris field, it has to go through that overpass and it can create a funnel and actually pick up speed while you're sitting under there.
Chabaria says the safest place to be is in a building, but if you're in a car, stay there with the windows up and your headlights on and duck your head below the window line. The Ferguson-Florissant School District has hired a new superintendent. As St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports, the announcement comes as the district navigates a financial shortfall.
Howard Fields III will be the new superintendent for the Ferguson-Florissant School District beginning July 1st. He currently serves as the assistant superintendent for human resources for the Kirkwood School District. He has spent much of his career working in districts across St. Louis County, including Webster Groves and Riverview Gardens. The announcement comes after longtime superintendent Joseph Davis was first placed on leave pending investigation after two principals in the district filed a lawsuit alleging Davis had sexually harassed them. The district terminated its contract with Davis in March. Fields joins the district as it navigates financial headwinds after pandemic-era relief dollars dried up last year and declining student enrollment. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
U.S. Army Corporal Frederick Carino of St. Louis went missing during the Korean War nearly 75 years ago. Carino's family is grateful to have his remains home and honored him with a funeral service on May 16th. Veterans are proud that the government is working to connect families to the remains of unknown soldiers. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, Carino's family says the memorial service is a testament to the military's commitment to its soldiers.
It's hard to believe that many people didn't know Frederick Carino because so many people showed up at Shepherd Funeral Chapel in North St. Louis County this month for his repatriation service.
My dad and his brothers and sisters talked about him, but I was a little guy. I didn't really pay that much attention then, you know. But boy, I'm paying attention now.
That's Dennis Carino, Frederick's oldest living nephew. It was last year when he and his wife were driving in St. Louis.
And my phone rang. And it said Fort Knox. I said, I don't know about Fort Knox, so I'm not answering because I'm driving.
A few seconds later.
And her phone rang immediately. It was the same number. Said, well, go ahead and answer it. And the guy asked if I was Dennis Carino. I said, yeah. And did you have an uncle missing in Korea? Yeah. He goes, thank God I found you.
And that's when the family finally got answers about what happened to Frederick nearly 75 years ago. On December 6, 1950, the Army reported Frederick missing in action while serving in the Korean War. He was in the vicinity of Hagaruri in North Korea. The Army never reported him as a prisoner of war, so they declared him dead at the end of 1953. And in late 1956, the military transferred unidentified remains from North Korea to the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific in Honolulu. Frederick was officially an unknown soldier in a grave marked X-15880. He was only 18 when he died. Dennis thanks his dad and Frederick's sister, who both are no longer living, for giving the military their blood samples decades ago, because if they hadn't, this discovery may not have ever happened.
We are proud. They've done so much. It's amazing. It makes you be proud to be American.
As the welcome home service begins, some family members are smiling and others have tears in their eyes. Frederick's remains are front and center inside a brown casket draped in an American flag. On a projector screen behind him, there's information about how he was identified and a black and white photo of him in his uniform.
Lord, on this day we turn to you, for you are the God of love who opens your ears to the prayers of all. Hear all the prayers that we offer this day for Frederick.
After the priest spoke, one of Frederick's many nephews gave gratitude to the people who showed up to remember his uncle. And the Army presented Dennis with the Purple Heart for Frederick's sacrifice for his country. Before and after the service, people were stunned by how the Defense POW MIA accounting agency found his remains. Dennis's son, Phil, flipped through a detailed historical report from the agency that included where the attack happened, Frederick's casualty report, photos of the skeletal remains, and his likely cause of death.
It looks like a gunshot wound to the head.
Yeah.
It is fascinating. I mean, no one would have ever thought that, you know, they were going to find him.
In June 2020, the agency disinterred hundreds of unknown soldiers from the Korean War, including Frederick, to test their remains. Scientists use dental and mitochondrial DNA to link the remains to Frederick. There are still over 7,000 Americans missing from the Korean War. As family members and veterans gathered at Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery for the final interment, silence fell across the crowd when active duty military members walked his casket under the committal shelter. Army Chaplain Jordan Ballard, who's stationed at Fort Leonard Wood, said a few words of encouragement, read Psalm 23, and said a prayer. Ballard was proud to participate in the service because this was his first time honoring an unknown soldier.
Even though it's much later, it's never too late to render honors and to remember the fallen and the sacrifice they made.
I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Arla Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.